Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of 1 Corinthians with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 14, ending in chapter 11, verse 1, where we pick up from last week's study and we see how to avoid falling into sin, as so many have, and how do we stand with just a few. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14.
Let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we'll pick up here in verse 11. We made our way down to verse 15, but we'll rewind to verse 11, and we'll cover a few things here where we left last week, and then we'll get into the rest of the chapter, and we'll work our way down, God willing, to verse 1 of chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, if you don't have a Bible with you, you can follow on the screen here behind me, and I'm going to pray and just ask the Lord to bless our time in His Word. So, Lord, we thank You for just the opportunity to sing praises to You, God, to worship You. We thank You for the lyrics of the songs that we sing to You. Lord, even just singing songs with the name of Jesus in the song, Lord, it blesses our hearts just to sing Your name, just to say Your name. And God, we want to exalt You as we continue in this service. We join You, Lord, in magnifying Your word above everything else. And we ask You tonight, Lord, as we seek to be faithful to uphold it, that You would speak to each of us individually, Lord. And Lord, at the same time, give our church corporately what it is that You're wanting to speak to us in this season. We trust, God, that Your word is perfectly balanced and it's full of everything that we need, Lord, tonight. So help us all to lean in, God, and give You our attention, our focus, that we wouldn't waste, Lord, this short space daydreaming or on our phones, God, or whatever it would be, talking to our neighbor, Lord, that we would give You our ears, our hearts, and that we would leave here, Lord, with so much from Your word that would enrich our walk with You. That's what we're after, Lord, just deeper, richer, more mature walks with You. So bless this time, we ask, Holy Spirit, fall on this convocation, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week, we really dove deep here into chapter 10, and we handled the way that I broke the chapter, these opening 13 verses. I suggested to you that there were these five advantages that the children of Israel, five blessings from the Lord that the children of Israel historically had bestowed upon them. And then we covered in the middle there of those verses, those five devastating sins that destroyed so many that made up the nation of Israel. So we had the five advantages, blessings from the Lord that the nation enjoyed, and then five devastating sins that destroyed so many of the Israelites. And then we closed kind of quickly because all of a sudden the clock started moving faster. These five solutions or ways so that we don't have to be destroyed by what destroyed so many of old. And I guess what I'll do at the start so that we don't run out of time is I'll give you those five things that we left with last week, and then we'll get into our text here because we had a few people reach out through the week saying, hey, I missed those last five things. So I did post them on Instagram. You know, there's some good use of social media, not a lot, but that's one of those things where I can kind of communicate with you guys from Bible studies and things of that sort. So let me give you these five things then that we can apply to our lives, if you didn't catch them last week, so that we can avoid being a castaway. If you remember, that's how this all started, this chapter. Paul said, hey, I don't want to become a castaway in my service to the Lord. I don't want to be a wasted life. So how do we avoid falling with so many and standing with just a few? How do we avoid falling with so many and standing with just a few? And the first thing that I gave you was birthed out of verse 5, and that was stop living to please self and live to please the Lord. Stop living to please self and live to please the Lord. The second way that we could apply these verses to our lives so that we can avoid being a castaway is that we need to have a healthy fear of sin and understand exactly what it does in our relationship with Jesus. I'm going to talk about that more as we move into it tonight. But there's a lot that want to add Jesus to their life. A lot of people, a lot of celebrities, a lot of famous folks that we look to, they want to add Jesus to their life, but they don't want to discard sin. And that doesn't work that way. You got to love God and hate evil. And I suggest to you that the ruthlessness of sin requires ruthlessness with sin. And we'll, again, move through these things together more so tonight. The third way to avoid being a castaway from last week's Bible study is that all of these examples, and when I say that, I'm referring to what's in front of us in the chapter here with the nation of Israel. They tell us how much God can't stand complaining. It pleases the Lord to be thankful. We should all endeavor to be a thankful people, rejoicing in the Lord always. And again, right, the writer of the scripture says, and again I say rejoice. So we want to be careful of complaining, of murmuring. That's the way we read it last week. And really seek to be a thankful people. The fourth thing that was given, birth out of verse 12, how to avoid being a castaway, is that we just take this warning given to us that we're going to revisit in a moment of taking heed personally lest we fall. Just constantly taking heed lest we fall. You can't think, I can't think, we can't think we're any better than those who are in the scripture is an example to us. We're just as susceptible as they were. We don't want to sniff at Israel's list that they fell to. You know, I can't believe they fell to that. This is ridiculous. We don't need to be warned of these things type mentality. A good healthy dose of self-distrust is what I suggest to all of us. Certainly myself included here in this area is healthy. It keeps us sober and vigilant when it concerns temptation. And then the fifth thing that I gave to you, again, a little overlap here, but not everybody got these things last week, so I just want to make sure that you can get them if you wanted them. The fifth thing is found in verse 14, and that is flee from sin, don't flirt with sin. As we're going to be told very explicitly, look for the way of escape. So those are just sort of five ways that the Holy Spirit gave to me to give to you of ways that we could avoid to be a castaway, learning from the bad examples of the many that fell and standing with the few who stood. So out of all the nation of Israel, the original generation, you know, you think of it, only Joshua and Caleb made it in. It's really sad when you think that at least 2.5 million people were a part of that wilderness wandering, and such a minority made it in to the fullness of what God had for his people. Let that not be said of us. So what we're dealing with tonight then is this. Paul, he's been looking at the nation of Israel historically, as I've said to you, all the blessings and liberties that they had in the Lord. However, they became overconfident, prideful. They took everything they had in Jesus for granted, and they missed everything concerning entering into the fullness of the Lord, entering the promised land. So the lesson's clear. Even though they had come out of bondage of Egypt and they've been given this freedom from the Lord, they didn't use it wisely. And that's why Paul went to such great lengths to go over those stories in the Old Testament to drive his point home. You got these liberties, don't abuse them. And we're going to hit it again tonight. Whenever there's repetition in Scripture, you shouldn't think there's something wrong with the Scripture. You should think there's something wrong with us. You know, if the Bible says something over and over and over again, we got to learn to think this way. It can't be, man, Lord, what did you not have something new to have Paul write? You know, why are we doing this again? Chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 10, into chapter 11, the same theme. And I would suggest to you that really any great theme isn't really gotten the first time. It takes repetition to really grab a hold of truths. And certainly that's the case with Scripture. The Lord doesn't see fit that we get out of this topic yet. The Lord sees fit in a sovereignty that as a congregation, we get spoken to again on this matter. So if you're tired of it, take it up with him. Leave me alone. I'm just the messenger. So verse 11, a little bit of overlap here intentionally. Paul says to us, now all these things that happened unto them, that is Israel of old, they were for our example, and they are written for our admonition, our warning. That word is full of meaning of warning, lest judgment comes upon whom the ends of the world are come, or ages. Wherefore, verse 12, if there's anybody at Calvary West Side, right, that thinks that he stands, you think you don't need to hear of these things, you think you got a grip on what your liberties are and not abusing them, right, that's the context of the verse. I hear this verse used a lot. It's speaking about liberties and the abuse of liberties as a Christian. If you think that you stand, well, then he says, you need to take heed lest you fall. That's the only thing that's between you standing and you falling. That is taking heed. The only thing that we're told here between your standing and your falling is you're taking heed. A wise man will lean into the Bible study tonight and take heed to whatever it is that the Lord wants to speak. He says, there has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Verse 13 in the middle, but God is faithful. I'm thankful that God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able. But it tells us this here at the end of verse 13, but will with that temptation, he will make a way to escape that you might be able to bear it. And I would suggest to you that that's the means right there as it reads at the end of verse 13. He will make a way of escape, and the way of escape is that you would be able to bear it. I would suggest to you that he will give you the strength to bear up under whatever temptation you're facing, because he will be with you and he is in you, so therefore you don't have to yield to it. I hope you all got that. Because every single person in the room tonight is going to be tempted. And there isn't sin in being tempted. The Lord Jesus was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Where it turns to sin is when we yield to temptation. And when we yield to temptation and sin is wrought and it gives birth to sin, the wages of sin eventually is death to something or someone. So we need to understand here that when we're facing temptation, it's common to all man. Anything I face, you face. Anything you face, she face. Anything she faces, he face. We all face the same things. Let's just put ourselves on equal ground here tonight. Anything that any of us face as fallen human beings, it's common to all of us. That's not the issue. The issue is looking to the Lord, who is with you and in you, to give you the ability to have victory over it so that you don't yield to it and it becomes sin. Amen? So in the matter of liberty, we got to be careful that we, and this is going to lead me into my first point, and I only have two tonight, and that is this: liberties are liberties, but liberties are not sin. So we've got to be careful that in our enjoyment of Christian liberties, that we don't start to be tempted to go into a territory that would become sin in our lifestyles. And we'll talk about this more, but this is the context here of these verses. So we are thankful tonight that we have a way of escape. Who's the way of escape? Jesus. That he is with us, so because he is with us and he is in us, we don't have to submit to it or yield to it. We can have victory over it because Jesus has won the war, right? We're more than conquerors in Christ. That's our position in Christ. Wherefore, Paul says so tenderly here in verse 14, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Don't flirt with it, flee from it. Idolatry is not a liberty. This is where he's going. Idolatry is not a liberty. Idolatry is a sin. Y'all are twisting things in Corinth. and maybe here at Calvary Chapel, you got carried away with what your liberties are. You went too far with it. Liberty is not idolatry. That is sin. And he's saying to you and I here tonight, very explicitly, dearly beloved in Christ, we got to flee from it. When he says flee, it's a word of urgency. It's like this. You got to run for your life, lest that sin overtakes you. Ruins your reputation, ruins your witnessing to the world. There's a grave danger attached to yielding to idolatry. So he says, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I'm speaking, he says, as to wise men, judge what I say. So the wisdom here is taking what Paul is saying, putting yourself under the governing authority of God's word. Okay, Lord, I don't want to be somebody who thinks he stands, lest I fall. I want to be somebody who takes heed. Lord, I don't see, any areas of maybe danger in my life right now in these matters, but if there's some blind spots that you want to call, some quote-unquote Christian liberties that I'm borderline abusing or already am abusing, Lord, I need you to show me these things because I don't want to enter into a temptation that's common to all man. I'm not above that temptation. I want to flee from it. That's wisdom, is what the Bible's saying. What's not wisdom is being foolish and checking out and saying, I don't need to hear this. I'm past these things. I'm more mature than this. I've already heard it for the last 3 or 4 weeks. How many more times do I have to hear all things are lawful, not all things are expedient? Well, the Lord says you need to hear it at least again because it's in this chapter too. So, again, if I weren't like a line-by-line, verse-by-verse Bible teacher, I wouldn't choose texts like these. But that's what's so wonderful about moving through God's word. It's the portion that we need to receive. He sees fit. So here we go. So what he's going to do now, if I don't explain it to you this way, I think it's going to be confusing to the most of us. He's going to get into communion. He's going to get in 16 down for several verses to like 21 there. He's going to get into communion. He's going to get into Old Testament feasts. And he's going to get into sacrifices offered to pagan gods that the Gentiles participated in. What he's going to do is he's going to use these things as an example of the daily lives of the Corinthians as to what turns into sin and is not a liberty. That's what he's doing. For you and I, it might seem a little confusing. Like, is this a sermon now on communion? No. He's using something that they would understand that they were guilty of, where they are now turning a liberty that's no longer liberty into idolatry, which is sin. We'll explain these things as we go. But Paul wants to be clear here, that is not the case. Liberties that are sin, and that's what it is. He's calling it as it is. So before we get this here in verse 16, let me make sure that I define quickly here what I mean by liberties so that nobody's lost and thinks, I don't know what you're talking about, liberties. I thought we were free in Christ. We are free in Christ. But what Paul is speaking about when he says liberties are things that the Lord doesn't prohibit, but also doesn't encourage. Okay, this is a holdup for a lot of people. These are questions we get asked. Hey, Pastor, I don't see in Scripture, we call it a gray area. It seems to be a gray area. That's the liberties Paul's speaking about. It's not things that the Lord prohibits, but it's also not things that the Lord encourages. It's things that the Bible doesn't really address specifically. Thus, that's where the word liberty comes. There's a liberty to go different directions on these issues. I might go this way, that's my liberty, and you might go that way. It's not black and white in Scripture. You see, that's what he's handling. And what he's going to do right now in verse 16, he's going to say, y'all are getting it twisted. You took something that you said was a liberty, and it's not a liberty, it's sin. And we need to have this word given to us. So in verse 16, I'm going to read the chunk of scriptures and then we'll allow the Holy Spirit to apply it to us. In verse 16, Paul says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, speaking of, the bread, the element that you eat that speaks of the body of Christ, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, verse 17, being many, are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. So there's this identification with the Lord in communion and with each other as believers. When you come to the Lord's table, he's saying it's sacred. You're remembering what Jesus did for you. You're taking and eating of what speaks of his body and drinking of what speaks of his blood. You're reflecting upon his sacrifice, his victory. And there's this unity in doing it as the body of Christ corporately. We are together as one body, the body of Christ. We're coming together and we're doing this holy, sacred thing. Now, we'll talk about communion more in chapter 11. So for sake of keeping our thought here, we'll keep moving. He says, but now you think about this. There's communion. But then you also think about Israel of old. Those who are in Judaism, how after the flesh are they not which eat of the sacrifices, partakers of the altar? You know, eating the sacrifices, coming and expressing their worship in that way. He says, what do I say then? Verse 19. That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifices to idols is anything. He says, but I say that the things which the Gentiles, the pagans, the unbelievers sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. See, that's where you guys are getting carried away. That's where he's going here. He says, you can't drink, verse 21, here's the rebuke. You can't drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of the devils. He says, that's the issue. You're trying to pull up a seat at two tables. This isn't liberty anymore. This isn't something that's gray in scripture. This isn't something that is unclear. What you guys are trying to do, he's saying, is sit at two tables. You can't sit at two tables. In one situation, you're at church Wednesday evening, going through a book in the Bible, having communion, celebrating the Lord's victory over the cross and sin and the grave, celebrating your future and your hope in Jesus. He said, the issue, though, is that you got that going on, but then you're sitting at tables that is having sacrifices by unbelievers unto devils or demons. You can't, that is not a liberty, that is sin. And you need to understand it is that, or else you're going to cause yourself to stumble, and you're going to stumble everybody else around you. In other words, he's saying this to us, I believe. Our lives are to be a clear clarion sound bell.
That concludes our message for today, here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. My blood and water.